Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah. Focus on yourself and stop trying to scheme others. Cause once you get your wealth, then you can start to wake others. Stop running from yourself and take up your throne. Don't let them entities take up your home. Cause you're the entity that makes them stone cold demons. So I'ma hit them hard when they hit low. I'll be on your boulevard with my righteous flow. I be pulling all these cards with this mighty flow. Never claim to be a thug, I just walk with love. Haters wanna give me the me mug because they nothing but someone that's not dealing with themselves. They probably need a hug. I'm the one that hit them with this truth, this we've been under rust. So deal with it yourself, don't hide behind the drugs. The nation is the nation's epidemic, this is not a gimmick. I'm just here to make the people feel it, orchestrate and kill it. Put it in its place and add some grace and we can re-reveal it.
This world is yours.
I'm back up on my grizzly, used to live in pity, throwing pity parties. Now I'm litty, I am my committee. Went from starved to living large, we live with no regard. So bring your light, cause you the star, they say we come from Mars. Either way it doesn't matter, cause you make it happen. You the author of your story, make or break it, captain. See right here, I'm building mansions on this track for rapping. Get the hell up out my house if you ain't about it, faker. A lot of fakers, man, it be a lot of takers. They just here to make me strong so I can elevate this. I'm just here to bring you something that'll last for ages. And you're just here to bring us something that'll last for ages. Now that's contagious, I can write 1,000 pages. But you gotta make the choice that'll rattle Satan. Until you pull up in a Royce to show us how to make it. Until you pull up with your voice to show us how to take it.
Take it.
The time is 4 p.m. Central Time. As always, we have another outstanding show scheduled for you today. And as you know, I like to get right into the meat of the message. I know your time is valuable. I respect you and I respect your time, so I do not want to waste your time. I want to spend as much time revealing, explaining, illuminating, and simplifying the Word of God, the Word of Yahuwah and His Son, Yahushua. So today, my brothers, today, my sisters, wow, we got a barn burning for you today. We got a powerful message for you today. Today's message is definitely not for new believers. Today's message is definitely not. I want to make sure I make this clear. Today's message is definitely not for new believers, for new Christians. So if you're fairly new to the game, if you're very sensitive about your belief systems, if you're still wrapped up and, you know, you're theology, today's message is not for you. Today we want to talk about the true reason why many people, knowingly or unknowingly, religious and non-religious, have no energy, no power, no ability to move forward because of the mental disposition that was passed down, especially if you are black or melanated, especially if you're African-American, especially because we were handed down this, it's in your genes, through the psychological effects of slavery. Whether you know it or not, it's there. If you are a melanated individual, and if you are a non-melanated individual, you have the psychological effects of this thing that we call this generational curse of entitlement, the spirit of entitlement. Whether you know it or not, it's in your genes. It's in your vibe. It comes across unconsciously. So we're going to talk about the house Negro versus the field Negro mentality today. We're going to talk about why you worship God, why you put so much energy into worshiping God. And you put a lot of energy, not you personally, but people you may know. Now, I was sitting in church, and this was downloaded into my spirit, if you will. A thought entered into my brain. Now, I already know the answer to the thought, but the thought, you know, again, that I was reminded of something that I have forgotten. And it's not that I've forgotten it. It's just that, you know, when you are aware of something and something goes on for a period of time, you get accustomed, you adapt to it. You kind of think of how do you cook a frog? Well, you put it in cold water, and then you slowly turn the heat up. Before you know it, the frog is boiling in water. By the time he feels the heat, it's too late for him to jump out, or he can't jump out. So we're slowly being cooked. That's how the enemy gets you to be non-effective when it comes to your purpose. Now, I need to ask you a question. Like, think back. When was the last time that you've been to church? Now, I'm pausing for a moment. I wanted to register. When was the last time you've been to church? Okay, now think. So when you were sitting in church, like, how much time did you spend in church? Like, I went to church today, and while I was sitting in church, I had this thought. Now, church is great. No, let's not get it twisted. Nothing wrong with church. But while you're sitting in church and you're listening to the word of God, you know, and the preacher is preaching the word and he's sharing the word, and then people get up and worship. Now, I did this on a whole other scale, so I'm talking to myself, but I invited you along to listen, especially if you're a member of the life management system, especially for my children, who's really my oldest son, you know, Broderick, and my oldest daughter, Sade, because they got the heavy dose of traditional religion and worship, hardcore worship. So you're worshiping God. You're sitting there. You're expressing, exposing, and expanding a lot of energy. Where does that energy go? Now, I'm pausing on purpose because I want you to understand what I'm saying without being disrespectful. Where does that energy go? So let's say you grew up in a sanctified or an apostolic or a holiness. If you grew up in a church like I did, where you shout, speak in tongues, and you turn over chairs, you expand a lot of energy. You go home, you eat a big meal, and you go to sleep. So where does the energy go that it is expanded in church? Now, where does the energy go? Now, remember, energy is entity. So where does that entity? So when you are expanding energy, so to accomplish anything on earth, it requires energy or it requires an entity. So you are animated by an entity. Now, the only question is, what entity is animating you? Now, the reason why today's message is so important is because most people have never questioned the nature of their reality, their entity. And so when I talk about the house Negro mentality versus the field Negro mentality, now, the house Negro has a totally different mentality than the field Negro, but both of them are used to the master for assistance. Now, let me make sure you understand the mindset that is preventing you from being wealthy. Now, I'm doing pretty good. a lot better than I've done in the area of wealth, but I'm angry and upset because I should be doing a lot better, and I modeled a behavior in front of my children that they saw me exhibit by going to somewhere and giving worship, which is work for. So the worship, whatever you worship, that's what you work for. So what do you worship? And you and I used to worship the Poonanny. So I work hard to get Poonanny. I worked hard, but you don't understand. I used to have 3-4 cell phones, pagers, you know, I mean, you understand, 5 different email accounts. Oh, brother, I was on the grind. I made sure that I had my Poonanny was on rotation. Y'all don't understand. It wasn't a game for me. This was the real deal. So that's what I worshiped. Now, I may not have said it that way, but look, where are you putting your energy? Now, remember, you go to church. Now, I just came from church. Had a great time in church. The word came forth. Worship, you know, we gave a lot of admiration. And we lifted up holy hands. And we praised and we worshiped God. And a thought came in. Now, this thought came into my head many times, and I've always dismissed it because it was blasphemy. But, see, now I have one thing that I want you to have. If you are a member of the Life Management team, you must have this from today forward. When you pray and you don't know what to pray for, when you meditate, when you set a mantra, your mantra should be for the highest possible good. If you don't know what the high, okay, wealth, put a dollar amount. They say everything, okay, you write a dollar amount and you write a date. Okay, I want to be a millionaire by blank, by, you know, let's say January the 1st of 2019. Okay, if that's your goal, when you say that statement, it goes out into the universe. That's how you declare and decree. Now, if you say that statement, if it's frequently repeated, and if it's emotionally charged, I guarantee you it's going to manifest in your life. I've personally done it. I don't know how many times. Sister Kiyawatha came over and she taught us. She added another link into the puzzle. She added, write it down. Now, I used to write it down back in the day when I was in my 20s. I don't got to write it down no more because, again, it's frequently repeated. So the Bible says the same thing. All of this is out of the Bible, and Habakkuk says, take the vision, write it down, and make it plain so that those who read it can run. So your animation, your energy comes from whatever you write down, which comes from whatever you say, which comes from whatever you think. So whatever you think. So the difference between a house Negro, the Negro that's in the house, he got a better life than the Negro that's in the field. So the Negro that's in the house, his thoughts is different. Now, I'm going back to the slavery days to use it as a parable or a metaphor for what I'm trying to express, expose, and expand to you today. If you are a member of the Life Management team, are you a house Negro? Do you got the house Negro mentality? That means you're worshiping the master. That means you are unknowingly giving your energy to the master. The master got your money. You will never have a dime. Now, ain't nothing wrong with that if that's what you want to do. If you want to give all of your energy and all of your time. Now, again, I am not talking about nothing I read of a book. When I was a licensed ordained minister back in the day when my children were little, I went to this big church here in San Antonio, and I was there 3 to 5 days a week. I gave a lot of time, a lot of energy to that church. Nobody put a gun to my head. Nobody made me do that. And I was broke. And we got our houses repoed. We moved every other week. My children went without. But all that energy went somewhere. Where did it go? That's why there's a top of every church. Because that steeple stands for the penile or the penis. It's sex magic. Now, I'm not saying it goes a lot deeper than that, but let me just put it this way. You ain't getting that energy. So we don't got to get into it. Now, I know where the energy goes. You know, I may do a study on that a little bit later. But let me make sure, because now remember, the house Negro, he does a lot of stuff for the master. I like that Quentin. Django. And Django, the house Negro that was played by Samuel L. Jackson, you know, he played that role because he said we. Every time he spoke about the master, he said we. Y'all remember Django in the movie, that character that Samuel L. Jackson played? In the house Negro's mind, him and the master are one. Now, let me make sure you understand what that means. Because in the church, you and the master are one. You believe that the energy that you've given to the church is going to benefit you. Now, ask the house Negro. Now, does he get some benefit? Absolutely. Does he get his highest possible good? Hell no. Because he's doing it for, and he's worshiping the master. He's giving all of his energy to the master. Now, if you don't believe me, when you go to your work and you go to your job and you at your job and you are working, the job gives you a check. But is the check equivalent to your effort? Now, some people have figured out the game. They do just enough work to keep from getting fired. And the employer pays you just enough money to keep you from quitting. That's called capitalism. Now, I was in that game for 50-plus years. I tried it 58 times. After trying it 58 times, I realized that dog don't hunt for me. That a job does not allow me to operate at my highest possible good. Now, remember, Heavenly Father, touch the minds of your people that they may hear what says the word of God. Father, I decrease that you may increase, that every word I say would uplift your people to fulfill their highest possible good. Every day from today forward, unless you know the exact dollar amount and you know the exact step-by-step method by which you are going to achieve that amount, your mantra should be, when you wake up every day, all day, throughout the day, I am wealthy at my highest possible level. See, right now, your goal is too small. That's why your body's not animated. Let me say that again. I can prove it to you. Right now, your goal in life is too small, so your body is not animated. Now, when God showed me, when the big G showed me this, I thought about the different jobs, 58 of them that I've had. I thought about while I was sitting in church today, and the thought came into my mind, where does the energy go that people give to me? And I said, God, the energy goes to you. And then the response I got back was, I am omnipotent. I am all power. I am all present. I am all knowing. Now, God told me, I didn't hear no audible voice. I did not see no burning bush. There was no little green men or blue men. No angel appeared before me. I didn't see no bright light. I was not knocked out of my chair. All I know is in my spirit, in my soul, in my gut, God said, I gave that energy to you for you to put in your purpose. Now, worship, what you do for God is how you, if you want to repay God in some kind of manner. Now, remember, I'm not talking about no stuff I read in a book. Now, when I was a licensed and ordained minister, again, many, many years ago, I was at church 3 to 5 days a week, and I put a lot of energy, I put a lot of time, and I put a lot of money into that church. And now they got a big, huge building over here. They got a school. They got all this stuff. The pastor and the wife, they living good. Really, really. They got a ranch. I know the guy who built the ranch. Matter of fact, he ain't here on the planet no more. He's dead. He left way too early. I'll never forget him because he was one of my best friends. His children, my friends' children used to hang out. We used to go to his house. He's gone. He's dead. He worked like a Hebrew slave, like I did, for the church. Now, am I saying anything wrong with that? Absolutely not. Please hear what I'm saying, man. I know somebody's going to misconstrue this message today. That's why I try to hide the title hide the true message inside the title. That's why I labeled it House Negro versus Field Negro. Because what I'm really talking about is the word worship means workship or warship. So your job is to not to be a field Negro or a house Negro. Your job is to be your Negro, if you want to use that term. Now, what does that mean in English? Now, remember, a field hand way back in slavery days, if you go back and you do the research and you look at all the documents, especially the speech that was done by Malcolm X, back in 1966, when Dr. Martin Luther King was in jail. Malcolm X delivered a speech that was profound. And what Malcolm X said, he established the difference between the house Negro and the field Negro when it came to mentality. Now, that is extremely important for you today, types of individuals. Now, the house Negro lived close to the master. He dressed like the master. He wore the master's secondhand clothes. He ate the master's food. He slept inside the master's house, usually. He lived almost like the master, but he wasn't the master. See, when a house Negro identified himself, he always identified himself in the same sense that his master identified himself. The house Negro never identified himself. He always identified his master. He always said, as in the movie Django, "We having a good day today. We ate food today. We did this. We did that." So the house Negro had the mentality or the mindset that he was just like the master, but he wasn't the master. And every time that house Negro forgot that he wasn't, that he was the master swiftly reminded him, "You still a Negro." But the field Negro, he wasn't under that delusion. See, many of y'all today, y'all are house Negro, y'all have a house Negro mentality. I know, because I used to have that same mentality. But that was that mentality that created the wrong reality. Now remember, the reality that you should have is your reality should be your highest possible good for your God given design. Now I want to ask you a question today. Can you achieve your highest possible good? What is the highest possible good? Because God is omnibenevolent. Omni means all. Benevolent means good. That means the highest good. So what is God's will for you? What is God's highest possible good for you? Now, are you supposed to worship God or are you supposed to work for God? Well, thankfully, you're supposed to answer is both. There's nothing wrong with worshiping God. But there's a lot of people who go to the church and they spend a lot of energy and they do like I used to do. They cry, they turn over chairs, they sing great worship songs, and then they go home, they eat a big meal, and they go to sleep. They don't do anything. Worship, my brothers and sisters, is being confused with work. See, a lot of people worship, it's like I played real football. Nowadays they got kids, they say they play football, and they on the PS4, PS3, or whatever their new gaming system, and they're playing virtual football. So, see, we live in a virtual reality where the virtual reality is being convoluted or confused with real reality. So the problem is a lot of people are confusing thinking with action. Now remember, I'm a metaphysician. I like to think, but I have to get off my butt and actually move my hands and do something. But the reason that there is no physical movement is because there is no in-depth thought, meaning it is impossible to have a thought without creating an emotion that results in a chemical response called dopamine, serotonin, melatonin, or one of the feel-good chemicals that causes the animating of the body. The word spirit means the animating principle of the body. So when you receive the Holy Spirit, you're supposed to receive the Holy, the H-O-L-Y. Now, that's a D1, H-O, hydrogen, oxygen. L-Y, lie. Now, hydrogen, oxygen, lie. So what does that mean in English? Well, in English, what most people don't tell you is that, you know, God blew the breath of life into mankind, and he became a living being. Before that, mankind wasn't a living being. He was a spiritual being. Now, that's another study for another time, but what I need you to understand is that there's different kinds of man, as it says in any ontological book. Just look at biology. So what am I saying? Okay, do spirits need H2O? Or do spirits need HO? What does a spirit need oxygen to live? Do they have lungs? Answer, no. So what is a hydrogen, oxygen? What is all of this harmonious arrangement down here? What is this, as it says in ancient texts, unauthorized production? Now, see, the problem I have is that most people can have a difficult time wrapping their brain around, you know, what I'm expressing, exposing, and explaining. I have to give a lot of props to my daughter's father, because last night during the men's conference, you know, me and him never agreed. And it's kind of like my oldest brother Glenn. He's a pastor. He has a church in Corpus. He don't get all this metaphysical bullshit that I talk about a lot of times. I know he's trying, but I know he can't. It's hard for him to wrap his brain around it. Because I say some, like today, I say some statements that's kind of out there. But last night, as I broke down the biological expression of the biblical narrative, the light came on. Now, it took 5 years, but really in tears almost, because I didn't think the light was going to ever come on. But the light came on that me and him are saying the same thing. Everything I say, even what I'm saying today, I can go to the Bible and I can prove it to you. I can prove, no matter how far out in left field my statements sound, I guarantee you there's a biblical reference. Because nothing never comes out of my mouth without first being able to prove it biblically. Now, remember, every parable has a deeper meaning that holds power. What am I saying today? Jesus said, the things that I have done, you shall do even greater things. Why? Because he said, I am seated at the right hand of the Father, forever making intercession for you. So we have an advocate. So an advocate is like a lawyer. So we have somebody that's sitting at the right hand of the Father making intercession for us. So we are not slaves anymore. We are not house or field. Both mentalities are whack. If you're in the field, you know you got to hustle. You know you got to set aside a little food for yourself. You know that you're going to work hard. You know that it's going to be harder for you. So the field Negro's mentality is more selfish than the house Negro mentality, because the field Negro has less. So the field Negro is closer to operating and vibrating in his highest possible good, because he's doing what everybody told me was wrong. Now, this is if you don't get nothing today, Heavenly Father, please let your people get this. I saw my mom be a doormat in my definition. I'm a six. I went to Richmond. I got to Richmond. I used to call my brother, the guy I was, you know, grew up with, and the dudes in my, there was, you know, guy like in my neighborhood were bigger than me, older than me. They just whooped my ass every day. I just called my brother Glenn, and he said, "Man, bro, I can't do nothing for you, man. I ain't there." He said, "You got to fight back." I didn't understand it, man. That was the hardest lesson for me to learn. The hardest lesson. I didn't understand. I couldn't understand. Why? I didn't do nothing. Why did these guys didn't like me? I didn't do nothing to them, dude. I just moved in the neighborhood. And I got my ass whooped every day. I stole something. They steal it from me. I couldn't understand. I had to do one thing. I had to take care of myself. And now I'm learning the same lesson all over again. Because there's something in my wiring that's flawed. There's a flawed way of thinking. That is the psychological effects of slavery. Most black people I know, black people are really nice people. I know a lot of black people, man, that if we was in the position of the dominant culture, life would be a lot different. Black person, you can do them wrong, they'll forgive you, they'll, you know, most of us. Now, this is not about race. This is about culture. This is about a way of thinking. So in the hood, you know, people, they want you to learn and get your own stuff. But if you're really down and out and you really need something and you ask somebody in the hood and they got it, they're going to help you out. I remember as a kid going on, my mother would go borrow sugar. She would send us, "Boy, go over there and get some sugar from somebody. Go get some flour from this person." They would borrow from each other, and nobody talked about each other like they do now. Everybody, it was a community. Well, I grew up, everybody, you know, You may not like the person, but you respected the person. That was mutual respect. But the mindset today that is destroying and that is prohibiting you from moving forward in the areas of wealth, especially wealth, because wealth is a direct reflection of the mindset, because wealth is a currency. And currency, as I've talked about before, is a current. That means something that is moving, and it means something. It means current. That means something that is present now. So you must be moving now. But what must be moving now? Your chi. So it's currency. The C is the chi, C-H-I. That represents the pneuma or the ruach in the Greek and in the Hebrew, which means spirit in English. So the spirit must be moving now, because the Bible says in Hebrews, now faith is. It didn't say tomorrow faith is. It didn't say last week faith is. It says now. So if your faith is not now, your dog don't hunt. So how do I make my faith now? See, everybody I know, not everybody, but a lot of people I know, they're waiting to start. Now, I'm the king of perfectionists. Perfectionism is paralysis, if that's a word. If you show me a person that can't make a decision, I'll show you a perfectionist. Because perfection, it paralyzes you. If you're a Virgo, also, we suffer from a certain amount of paralysis. And if you're a 6, life path 6, or if you're 33 like me, this is your main issue, is paralyzed. You create situations to get other people to make decisions for you. That's the old house and fear Negro. So both Negroes want to run. You can't tell me. I don't care how good it's in the house, it ain't your house. How do I know? I've lived in some good houses. It's like renting. Nothing wrong with renting a house, but you know it's not your house. You know, if the landlord come and say, you know what, I decided to sell the house today, you got 30 days to get out. You know that feeling that's in the back of your mind when you're a house Negro. Why? You don't own nothing. You rent. You're a renter. Now, there's nothing wrong with that. You got to start somewhere. But, again, you want to go from the field to the house, and then from the house to ownership. It's the difference between having an employee mentality and having a ownership mentality. An owner on his way into the office, if he sees trash in the parking lot, it's his parking lot. He's going to pick up the trash, even though he's not the janitor. He's going to pick it up and put it in the trash. If you show me an employee, how do I know? I used to be an employee. 58 times I was an employee. I don't do my job. I'm working at the post office, man. Post office, they got this thing called a union. Employee has a little card. When I work there, they should pick out that card. The supervisor say, hey, boy, go pick up that box. He said, hold on a minute. He look at this card. That's not in my job description. He wouldn't do it. And guess what? Supervisor couldn't do nothing because he was a part of the union. That's a slave. Slaves, they only do what required. They do just what they are told. Nothing more, nothing less. Unless they can get away with it. A slave always needs an overseer. The Bible says, consider the ant who doesn't have an overseer, yet he what does the ant do? He gathers stuff. He prepares for the wintertime. Now, to be successful in life, that's the whole purpose of today's message. It doesn't have nothing to do with religion. I was sitting in church today, and as I was sitting in church, all the energy that is being expelled in the area of worship. That's why I don't really do no public worship anymore, because I overdid it when I was young, dumb, and stupid. I would cry. People look at me like I was crazy. But I was so overwhelmed by God's grace and mercy. There's nothing wrong with that. Public worship, nothing wrong with it. But when you finish worshiping in public, you need to go worship in private. If you worship in public more than you worship in private, you showboat. Your dog don't hunt. You're doing it. Now, it's unconscious, but you're doing it for an unconscious reason. I know a lot of people that worship God like there's no tomorrow in public. They turn over every chair in church. They shout. They're in a cold sweat. They let them come from the club. They drenched. I watch it every Sunday. They drenched, and they never talk about God until they come back next Sunday and do the same thing. Public display, that's what I used to do when I used to jog down on the street with my Daisy Duke shorts on and no shirt. It was all for attention. It was nothing to do with God. It was all ego. So you getting paid. The reason that, now this is what God told me. I don't know what he told you, but I'm just sharing what he told me. The reason that you ain't got your money because you got paid. all of that attention you got while you was in church, you know, everybody had to stop. Three ushers had to come over there and fan you. All of that, that's your money. You got paid. You got paid in church. Every chair you turned over, all that energy, money is energy. Money is an entity that is in motion now. So when you go to church and you do a public display of worship, you are expending a lot of energy. I watch it. Again, I don't read about this stuff in books. I watch this. This goes on. I'm talking about today, not last week. Today, people do this every day. Go to any sanctified holiness church and just watch. Negroes would tap the whole church and they got a dime in their pocket. Why? Their money was left at the church. Money is energy. The animating principle of the body. That's what the word spirit means. Now, let me make sure you understand, because I already know what you're thinking. You probably thinking, so, Brother Will, what do you mean, brother? You're saying it's wrong to worship God? It's wrong to be happy and full of the joy of the Lord and the Spirit? Yeah, but every Sunday, boo-boo? Every Sunday, boo-boo, you got to turn over the table and every chair? Every Sunday? I mean, come on, not every Sunday? And why only on Sundays? How come you don't turn over to, how come you're not at home? If God is so good to you, how come you don't tear up your chairs in your own house? How come you ain't shouting at home? Now, I used to do that. I used to cry at home, same way I cried at church. I used to be driving a worship song. Come on, I started thinking about God's grace and mercy. I would pull on side the road, and I was overwhelmed with grace and mercy. Just God's goodness. But guess what? I was broke. I couldn't pay my light bill on time. I was borrowing money. I couldn't do anything. I had a relationship with God, but I had none of the benefits of God. So I asked God, see, I don't know what kind of relationship you have with God, but I asked God direct questions. If you ask the right questions, you get the right answers. So I said, God, what is wrong with me? That I love you and you love me. I sense your presence, your anointing and your power, but I ain't got no money. And in fact, most of the people in the church don't have no money. The money to just do basic stuff. I'm not talking about going out and buying no Maserati and take vacations every other week. I'm talking about just normal, pay your mortgage, pay your car note, pay your insurance, keep the lights on, put water, you know, food, water on the table, basics. I'm talking about just the basics. I know a lot of people who really are sold out for Jesus and all this stuff, and they ain't got no money. Well, the biggest thing is, for me, I realize that most people believe, as I've done many shows, it is, as I know now, it is impossible to be wealthy and to be a Christian, to be, you know, most people's version of what they call Christianity, because that is what we talked about on yesterday's show. That is what they call double think or double talk. It's holding two opposing belief systems inside the same brain, because a lot of people believe that the love of money is the root of all evil. But none of them looked at the scripture like I did and read it, where it talks about architecture and shining things and understand what it really means when it talks about the love of money. So because you have a faulty belief system, now remember, your expectations establishes your experience. Let me say it again. Your expectations, your ability to read a parable and pull out the power is up to you. Remember, Jesus says, I'll never teach unless I teach in the parable. That's what Jesus said. I didn't say it. Jesus said it. Jesus said, I'll never teach, put the disciples over and said, it is for you to know, but for them it is not to know. So if you do not have the ability to decipher the meaning from the parable, you don't have the power that comes from the parable. There's a lot of people who do not have discernment. They can listen to the word of God, but they do not have the ability to decipher the word of God, to pull out the deeper meaning, so that way they can implement or apply the word of God in their life. God doesn't need your worship. I hate to be the bearer of good news. God doesn't need your worship. In fact, I doubt very seriously he even wants your worship. Now, let me make sure you understand what I'm saying. If God is all-knowing and all-power and all-present, my question to you is, what does God need? Think for a moment. What does God need? Well, the answer to that question is nothing. So God is expressing himself. Now, the real question is, when I talk to my clients in the area of wealth, health, wisdom, and relationships, I ask my clients, like, you know, what is their most predominant problem? And so when I talk to them about their most predominant problem, I want them to tell me what's pressing. What's the thing that is the most pressing to them? And so I just asked them that. Sorry about that. I just asked them, what is their most pressing problem? And they usually reply, money. Now, this is really interesting to me. Money. But the love of money is the root of all evil. Now, we live in a system where you can't do anything without money. Now, I tried to pay a bill with my love. Tried it. I went to CPS, the energy company, and said, you know what, I'm just a little short right now, and, you know, my intentions is to pay you. And I try to with my rent. I called my landlord one time. And so, you know what, I got a good heart. You know, I'm a, licensed, ordained preacher. I love God. I was riding around in a car that said Jesus Saves on it. So everybody knew I was sold out for Jesus. All zeal, no knowledge. Now, I would quit jobs. God would give me good jobs, if you want to use that word. And then I would quit them because I didn't like them, because I didn't understand purpose. So when I'm counseling people and they tell me, and most of my clients are Bible thumpers like me, because, again, you draw people into your life that are like you. And I know they got good intentions because, like my grandmother used to tell me, the road to hell is paved with good intentions. So I know good intentions do not put money in your pocket. I know. I don't have to read about it, study, or pray or ask anybody. I got personal experience. I've lost cars, houses. Y'all don't even want me to talk about that. We spend 5-6 hours just talking about all the stupid mistakes I've made in my life. But I loved God. I was sold out for Jesus. I was praying and fasting the whole time. My black ass was broke. Now, the reason why this is a very touchy subject for me is because I destroyed a 25-year marriage. I don't know if you understand. My ex-wife right now is on drugs because of my black ass. Now, surely, it was a long time ago. God's forgiven me, you know, she's forgiven me, but of living with a victimized narcissist. I did the show. Y'all know these shows I do. People ask me, Brother Will, where do you get the content? How do you do a show every day? I used to do 3 shows a day. Do you know what I've done in my life? I've lived at least 5 or 6 lifetimes. What I do in 5 years, most people do in 50. I've always lived my life fast forward. That's the way I'm wired. I go to the gym sometimes 3 times a day. Now, my wife is almost half my age, and I run circles around my wife. Most of my friends are in their early 20s. People look at me, and they think I'm in my 30s, 40s. I don't look as old as I am. That's just the way I'm wired. So I ask God, something is wrong. And this is what I tell my clients. If y'all cannot be honest with yourself, you will never get to the next level. So I knew something was wrong with me. Nobody had to tell me that something was wrong. I didn't have to go pray. I didn't have to fast. I didn't have to consult no Kudendero. I didn't need nobody to pray for me. I knew something was wrong with my thinking. I knew that my brain was flawed. So I didn't ask another thing. If you want to know the purpose of a thing, you never ask another thing. If you want to know the purpose of the thing, you ask the creator of the thing. So I got on my knees and I asked the creator of the thing. I said, Creator, what is wrong with me? You know what the Creator told me? Your belief system is flawed. He said, what you got is some shit that was frequently repeated, but it's not right or wrong. I said, well, hold up, time out, because what I got is what everybody else got. And he said, everybody else got the wrong thing, too. They just got different levels of it. Because you are more sincere. Whatever degree that the pendulum swings to the left, it also swings to the right. See, that's how I know. I don't have to believe it. That's why I'm happy being alone. I thank God I don't have no friends. Those are roadblocks that limit your progress. They call friends. Why? They're different. They're not a vibrational match. Don't believe me? Think truth. What is truth? Truth is the highest possible good in any situation. So you don't have to know what truth is. You just got to have a love of the highest possible good. Did you read 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 8, 9, and 10? So I have, and I've always had, I never knew what the truth was. When I was a little kid, I didn't know what, you know, I never concerned myself. All I knew was my intention was not to go out and hurt anybody. Every day I woke up, I moved to Richmond and I got around people, you know, guys whose intention was opposite of mine. And I didn't understand. So you woke up this morning. We used to go just look, we used to go looking for animals just to hurt them. Well, when I was a kid, I didn't think like that. So I knew something was wrong with me. So I had to change my way of thinking. So I started asking people. Nobody could help me. Thankfully, I ran into Miles Monroe. And the church I was at, Miles Monroe came in, and he took me under his wings, and he said, "You need purpose." Now, I asked Miles Monroe, I said, "Sir, can you tell me exactly what God wants me to do?" He said, "I can't tell you what your purpose is, but I can tell you you need to find one." That started my search. That's why I have the life management system. That's why I can eat any man and any planet, and you give me your name and your date of birth, I can tell you exactly what you're supposed to be doing on earth. Because God put himself inside of you, but he used symbols that's called DNA that you call letters. Those letters contain attributes and characteristics, the 12 attributes and characteristics of God. You have some of them inside of you. The problem is that you worship symbols, but you don't have a relationship with the substance. How do I know? I did the same thing. So your highest, I was talking to my one of my nieces, and she was asking me the same thing that my children asked me. "Dad, what am I supposed to do? I feel like the earth is coming to an end." You know, same thing when I was a little kid. They told me Jesus was coming back. So I was like, damn, if he's coming back, why should I get married, get a job, or do anything? I might as well just, you know, eat Captain Crunch cereal and watch TV. Because they said the earth is coming to an end. So my children, same narrative. So I told my children, same thing I'm telling you, purpose. Well, purpose is not known, abuse is inevitable. Okay, what is my purpose? Well, thankfully, the life optimization chart, or you can get on your knees and go before the Father. What does that have to do with worship in the church? Worship is supposed to be workship, war. How do you raise war against the enemy? By establishing heaven on earth. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So I asked God, what's going on in heaven? He said, brother, what's going on up here is called kleronomics. I said, well, what is that? Well, it's in the Greek word kleros. So I looked it up. It means the household management of the soul. I said, God, what is the soul? Well, the soul is five-dimensional like my word. Go to Hebrews 4:12. So I went to Hebrews 4:12. I read it. And it says that the word of God is alive, powerful, more powerful than any two-edged sword. It has the ability to divide spirit, soul, joint, and marrow, and is the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Okay, how do I pay my light bill with that? Okay, you got a soul. What is that? It's the mind, will, emotion, imagination, intellect, five things. So those five things make up my soul. Yes, they do. Okay, so what do? How do I pay my light bill? I got bills to pay. And having a soul and the word of God doesn't pay my bills. He says it does if you take action. Faith without works is dead. Okay, God, that is good. How do I take action? I'd rather watch TV and eat Captain Crunch cereal. Well, you got to engage in what you love. Only what you do for Christ will last. Okay, how do I find what I love? What animates the body? Your greatest pain is your highest gain. What caused you pain? Never create from a place of pleasure. See, I've been walking around in my little head, been thinking for my big head. I was trying to get my rocks off. I was trying to get pleasure. And the big G says, you create from a place of pain. What caused you pain? Well, the thing that caused me pain was error. Seeing my mama walking around in poverty and us raised, even though we was wealthy, we had a poverty mindset because we didn't take advantage of the gifts that God gave us. We made poor choices and poor decisions. How was we out with Sister X in a tent on Friday and Saturday nights when everybody else was at home? Why did my mom make the decisions that she made? Why did I make the decisions that I made? Why did I move my five children 25 times in a 20-year relationship? How the hell does that even, is that possible? Only for me. Why the hell did my children go to 13 elementary schools? 13! Because I was an idiot. So why was I an idiot? Because I wasn't applying truth. So I needed to find out what was truth and how to apply it. That's why I'm trying to help you. You can go to church all you want. You can turn over chairs every day. You can worship God. You can do all of that stuff. But when you get done, when you get finished, the things that he did, you should do. He got up. He went out. He ministered. He went to people's houses. He did stuff. He just didn't go to church and worship. What you do on Sundays ain't going to pay your light bills on Mondays. What is your expectation? I didn't have no expectation. Nobody talked to me about setting my expectation. They just gave me scriptures. Nobody told me that what you think about, you bring about. Okay? I have a lot of thoughts. Nobody told me how to bring my thoughts into captivity and see if they are of God. All of the scriptures, I could quote them, but I couldn't implement them. Nobody taught me how to implement the word of God in my life, man. They just gave me the damn word. It did me no good. Throw it in my life. It did not improve it. Because faith without works is dead. That was me, walking dead. I had a lot of faith, but I had no works. So let me ask you the question today. Did you go to church today? That's good. So church is over now. What you doing? You at home watching TV? What are you doing? What are you doing? Well, Brother Will, what am I supposed to be doing? You're supposed to be doing your purpose. You take what God gave you and you give it back to him. Okay, Brother Will, what's my purpose? Okay, what is your most pressing problem? What's been plaguing you since birth? I'm not talking about what you just discovered right now. This problem you've had, you was born with it. What is it? Me? It was ignorance. Okay, what's the opposite of ignorance? Knowledge. What do y'all think I do all day, every day, 24/7, 365? Nobody can outstudy me. Nobody. You can ask my wife, both of them. My ex-wife and my current wife, you can ask my children, how much time my dog behind spend reading books and studying? Nobody can ever look me in the eye and challenge me on nothing that I say. I don't even debate anymore. It's a waste of my time. It's a waste of my time to debate people who are inferior in the area of work. Oh, you may be smarter than me. You may be taller than me. You may be bigger than me. But you damn sure is not going to outwork me. Nobody's going to outwork me in the area of my gifts. So let me ask you the question, brother. Let me ask you the question. What are you willing to outwork me in? What area? That's your purpose. See, the purpose is not something that you be. Purpose is something that you do. Now, let me be clear, because people tell me this all the time. Well, Brother Will, I really love what I do, okay? But do you love who you be? Well, what do you mean? You see, I hated myself. I had a self-esteem problem. So you cannot love what you do until you love who you be. Because you are being who God designed you to be. See, a lot of people, when I was a kid, told me how bad I was. I didn't measure up. So I grew up believing something was wrong with me. I grew up believing I was bad. So you bring about what you believe about. If you do not kill that demon, that disposition, I don't care what you've done wrong in your life. Kill yourself in the eye, and you better love yourself. If you don't love yourself, you can't love your purpose, and you damn sure can't learn nobody else. That is why I don't care how much people loved me, I could not return it. Because there was the one thing the church never taught. I've never, ever, ever heard a preacher teach self-love. Because everybody tell me, deny yourself, pick up your cross, and follow Christ. But what they fail to make is the distinction between the flesh and the spirit. That's what almost cost me my life. Because I tried twice to take it. I don't understand, brothers and sisters, I hope to God you could understand what I'm telling you. The reason I know that you don't like yourself is because you worship something else. You see, I had a great love for God. I cried. I poured out my heart to God. I worshiped God every Sunday because I hated myself. I would worship. I would do for other people. I would take care of. I only had 5 kids, and I raised 13. I brought all, but we always had some other kids, and we drove all the way to New Mexico, got my, you know, and brought two kids into our house. We always, me and my first wife, we always had somebody else's kids in our house. I was always helping people. I was always giving. I see a homeless man, I would help him because I hated myself. See, I wouldn't help myself. I never bought my own clothes. I have never went to, just recently, I finally got to the place. First time in almost 30 years, I went to KG's or wherever. Where do I go? I went to some store, and I actually bought myself a suit. All of my clothes I got from my daughter's boyfriends. You see me wearing T-shirts from TCU, T-shirts, whatever college that my daughter's boyfriends was going to, I got their hand. All of my clothes, I haven't bought myself nothing in damn near 20 years. Why? Self-hate. I can't even begin. We'll be here for another hour. And I would be, but I can't even, I'm trying to keep from getting emotional now. Because I came from a dark place, brothers. I came from a dark place. Sustained in my heart, I pray to God nobody have to feel that. I pray to God that you never have to go to that dark place. Because I hate it. I didn't have a strong dislike. I hated everything about me. I hated my height. I hated my skin. I hated my hair. Then I hated when I lost it. I hated the way I talked, the way I walked. I hated everything about me. But then I wanted to produce love. Nobody is going to buy nothing from you until you buy it from yourself. The reason I'm making money now is I just decided that I am going to love myself despite everybody else. And I am going to say yes to myself before I say yes to anybody else. I made that choice, that decision, about 6 months ago. My life turned around. You see, I was a yes man. I was a house nigga. Yes, sir, master. Yes, sir, master. I was kissing everybody else's ass. Them days is over with, homie. I am going to be, and I am, the most selfish person on earth. You would never see this Negro following somebody else ever. Now, you can. Let me be crystal clear. My disposition came from my experience. My expectations now I'm getting ready to do a seminar in Dallas. Watch how it comes out. Why? Because I'm running it. I'm organizing it. And I'm setting the expectations, and my expectations are high. Why? Because I am serving the biggest gun, the highest possible good. You mean to tell me you got the God of the universe and you ain't got no money? You mean to tell me you serve the God of the universe and you got bad health? Now, I'm not talking about when you get old, the normal, you know, entropy of the body. I'm talking about the ability to overcome negativity. You mean to tell me you hooked on a sour grape and you don't have control over your tongue to withstand from the sour grape, to bring about balance? Now, I like sugar. But guess what? As you guys know, when I do my detox, I just go cold turkey. I don't like check out. If I want to eat sugar, I'm going to eat it. But sugar don't run me. I run it. So when I say no sugar, that is no sugar. My body, we don't have no discussion. My body don't run me. It's mind over matter. That is a disposition that you must have to be wealthy. This message is not just about wealth. This message is about the highest possible good. This message is about taking the energy that you're leaving at the altar, taking the energy that you are displaying in areas that is not a great return on your investment. This message is about maintaining a mentality that doesn't say, yes, sir, master. You ain't a house Negro no more. You ain't no fear. Slavery is over. That means you don't have to worship nobody or no thing. That means that you got to work for God through your purpose. That means you find your purpose and you give that back to God. My purpose is replacing error with truth. To the degree that I replace error with truth is how I worship God. I don't worship God by getting on my knees and crying. Now, you can, But the best way to worship God, brothers, the best way to worship God, sisters, is to fulfill your God-given destiny. It's to take what God put you on this planet to do and to devote yourself 110% to doing that 24/7, every day, all day. That is the best way you can worship God. The best way you can worship God is to operate in your highest possible good, to be the man and the woman that God has designed you to be. The best way to worship God is for to be a walking, talking, breathing example of Jesus Christ on earth. You should be, your life should be so close to his that people look at you and they say, it should be just like Jesus said, when you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Can you say that about my life? No, you can't say that about my life. Not yet, but I'm on the way. When you see me, you've seen the Father. That's the highest possible good. That's my goal. So when I wake up every day, my prayer is, Father, I want to be the highest possible good for my design, for my giftedness. I am an ambassador. I am your representative on earth. I am a royal priest. I am a holy nation. I am a joint heir. I am justified. I am glorified. I am sanctified. I am made in your image and likeness. Father, help me to be the highest example of you on earth. That's my prayer every day. If that means making $10 an hour, or if it means making $1 million an hour, whatever is the highest possible good for my life. If that means that I'm in perfect health, or that, whatever the highest possible good for my life. If that means I can quote every scripture in the Bible, or if that means I'm a functional illiterate, whatever the highest possible wisdom for my life. If that means I'm divorced, or if that means I'm in a 400-year marriage, whatever is the highest possible relationship status is for my life. God, Father, what is the highest? Because God is omnibenevolent. We're made in his image and his likeness. Our expectations are too low. Raise your expectations. Okay, based upon what, Brother Will? Based upon God's design for your life. I'm not telling you to try to outshine your design. That's not what I'm telling you. I'm telling you, find your purpose. I got a system to help you do that. Once you find your purpose, every day you wake up, you do what I do. All day, every day, I make sure that I remove everything and every person that is trying to prevent me from replacing error with truth. I'm here to uplift the spirit of humanity. I'm here to do didactic teaching, to take words and break them down to source, and to show people the difference between the original meaning and the current meaning. Because there is a linguistical God who's doing what they did at the Tower of Babel. Because at the Tower of Babel, they was on one accord, they had one language, and there was nothing they could not accomplish. So if you get on one accord, vision, one language, one frequency, language is a language, it's a frequency, it's a word. And if you can be on one accord, if you can have one language, there's nothing that you cannot accomplish. Your gut, your heart, and your head should be on the same page. Brothers and sisters, we got to get rid of the house and the field mentality, because that is messing up our reality. We have to work in the area of our God-given purpose the same way that we worship God on Sunday. I'm not telling you to stop worshiping God on Sunday. I am not telling you to stop going to church on Sunday. I'm just telling you, when the service is out on Sunday, the same energy that you put in service on Sunday, make sure you put that same energy in your purpose on Monday. That's all I'm saying. I'm not saying not to stop praying. I'm not saying to stop going to church. I'm not saying if you want to do that, that's great. But all that energy I see expanded in church, I don't see expanded in Monday at your job or when you fulfill your purpose. The same amount of energy that you put in on Sunday is the same amount of energy you should be putting in on Monday. And if you cannot put that energy in on Monday, that means that you are aligned with the wrong purpose. Where purpose is not known, abuse is inevitable. So my brothers and my sisters, please get rid of the house Negro mentality. Just don't go and be a repeater because the master said it. And don't be a field Negro either. Don't be scheming and scamming to try to get over and try to do less when ain't nobody looking, trying to steal stuff because they ain't paying you enough, so you ain't going to work enough. No, because you bring about what you think about. Get rid of the house mentality. Get rid of the field mentality and pick up God's mentality. God wish above all things that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. Brothers and sisters, God wants to do exceedingly abundantly above anything that you can ask or think. So make sure you're maintaining an expectation that says, Father, my will is to do the will of my Father who has sent me. I'm not here to do my will. I'm here to do the will of my Father. You want to operate in the highest possible good mindset or mentality because your expectations establish your experiences. So, brothers and sisters, this is your boy, Dr. Will Rogers, a.k.a. Master Teacher 33. God bless you. His name is Yahuwah. May His Son bless you. His name is Yahushua. May the Ruach that set apart one continue to lead you and guide you in all truth because He will never, ever, ever manipulate or control you. And as always, my brothers, as always, my sisters, I will, make no doubt about it, I will see you in eternity.
I'ma get this cause I got this. I'ma get this cause I got this. I'ma get this cause I accept that I got this.
Yeah. Life is such a mind job. I don't pray to you, I pray to my God. It's me, myself, and I, call me Tripod. I'm standing on my own, playing my part. I'm playing my part, better be the biggest one. Kinda like I'm rolling through the hood with the biggest gun. Cause when I'm true me, yeah, I got a heavy tongue. No one can outdo me, how I let the levy run. Cause I'm the clever one, hopping to the Chevy Sun. Stepping on your church, I'm knocking out your reverend. I'm really sorry, but I'm tired of the never come. Preacher talking about that money, that'll really never come. So get your kingdom up and get your kingdom in order. Stop letting entities come and beat your border. I'ma hit these entities with a fleet of mortar. Never connoisseur, I'm harder than a border. I've been doing more footprint like a dinosaur. I'm a connoisseur when it comes to dropping my manure. When I see an opportunity, I got maneuver. I send my own damn self to show me how to do it. I know I took a minute, but I got it once I figured out that it was all up to me. And I really love haters cause they keep me activated on a level to a better me. I made a choice one day that I'll pave my way and I'm never looking back again. I know it took a minute, but I got it once I figured out that it was all up to me.
Yeah. I'm done with the dogmatic, I got organic on automatic. Ain't no panic when you lose concern. Ain't no fear when you let your soul lurk and you let your soul earn. I'ma show you something real when I speak through this. Cause it ain't only me when I speak through this. So you gotta feel the G as I speak through this. Kinda like I'm at the chapel as I preach through this. See, I don't want your money, I just want you to wake up. Cause really it's the money that continues to slave us. Fat and happy while we taking a pay cut. Cause we don't realize that we the ones that amaze them. No more stuff in the placement, cause I'm a never, never stuck in the station. I'ma tell you something, I'ma hit you to face it. If you come on my way and stop me from greatness.
I'm done.
I know I took a minute, but I got it once I figured out that it was all up to me. And I really love haters, cause they keep me activated on a level to a better me. I made a choice one day that I'll pave my way, and I'm never looking back again.
I know I took a minute, but I got it once I figured out that it was all up to me.
I know I took a minute, but I got it once I figured out that it was all up to me. And I really love haters cause they keep me activated on a level to a better me. I made a choice one day that I'll pave my way and I'm never looking back again.
I know it took a minute, but I got it once I figured out that it was all up to me.